إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. Okay, as the brothers are coming in, let's review a little bit of last week. It's very important. What we talked about is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, warning of hasad or jealousy, because hasad eats your deeds like fire burns charcoal or burns wood. And we said how it burns your deeds. We said that when you get the feeling of hasad, which is natural sometimes, you have to fight it. You either fight it. If you fight it, you get ajr. If you don't fight it, and you wish, oh, I could do this to someone, I could, if I had the power, I would do this to someone. That's how you accumulate sins, even if you don't do nothing at all. And that's how all sins are. And I said continuous hasad leads to an evil disease, which is the disease of what in Arabic? Al-ayn. And what's the ayn? Which is the broader form? Which is broader? The hasad, I drew it two times on the board. Al-ayn. Hasad is the broad. Some people have hasad. If they don't cure that disease, as we're going to see in all the diseases that are going to coming up, the diseases of the heart. If you don't cure it, you go into a worse problem, and that problem must be cured. Or otherwise you get the disease of the ayn. We said prior to someone getting the ayn, how's the cure for it? I'm sorry. After someone gets it, what's one of the first things he could do?
You take shower and water and give them and say whatever
that is. Jazakallah khair. The one who was hit with the evil eye, if you suspect someone, you go to that someone and you ask him to take a shower, the remain of that, you wash yourself with it, you wash your car with it, maybe the baby or whatever. Okay. After you get it, or if you don't know, who's the one who hit you with the eye? What do you do? What are they? Give me some verses. Come on, this is easy. No, that's not a protection ayah. This is proof that there's an evil eye. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. No. Ayat al-Kursi. Most important three. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always say, oh Allah, I seek refuge from an evil eye, until Allah revealed, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. However, there's a dua, I don't know whoever was here, I want someone to tell me, the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make for his grandchildren, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn, because they were beautiful grandkids, and he used to tell them, this is the dua that Ibrahim used to seek refuge from Allah from anything evil to Ishaq and Ismail. What's the dua? The most important dua. Jibreel, pay attention if you don't have it. Your husband had it last week. I don't know if he gave it to you. Did he give it to you? You know, you all know we have Jibreel, inshallah. Abu Jibreel, come and show him to us when he shows up in a few minutes. Jibreel is Sheikh Jibreel. Do you guys know Sheikh Jibreel? Little baby. Okay, what's the dua? أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامة من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. I hope everyone has this. I hope everyone has this. When you see something beautiful, what do you say? I told you that's not right. You could say that, mashallah, tabarakallah, but I said the Prophet sallallahu, and I said ABC. Okay, good. Repeat them again. How did we get that? What's the proof for that? He didn't say that. He said, ask Allah barakah for what you see. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, could be used, but it's in a verse in the Quran. However, this dua is the best dua you say when you see something nice. Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. You know your son came here before you? He's already doing better than you. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read the next hadith. Read the next hadith. Read in English. Read in English.
وعنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الشديد بالصاع إنما الشديد الذي لم يكن نفسه عند الغضب متفق عليه.
In English. No, no, no. Before it.
The strong man is not the good wrestler, but the strong man is who will control himself and his hand.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this new hadith that we're going to take today inshallah in the following hadith, this hadith is about controlling your anger. We're talking about evil traits one has and how to cure them. That's the purpose of what we're doing. These are the manners of Islam. The following hadith after this is going to deal with oppression. Let us talk about evil traits of someone who can't control his nerves. Look how advanced Islam is. I'm telling you, 14 centuries ago, Islam warned us of overly exciting yourself and being nervous and many of the details of what happens if you're a nervous person, he didn't say, the Prophet ﷺ. However, there is a book written by a sheikh, a Yemeni sheikh, who combines all the hadith about being upset, quickly getting upset, and showing the medical facts. You know Zindani, don't you? Medical facts of how these matters apply, how the Prophet ﷺ 14 centuries ago deterred from these things that could happen. Blood pressure, heart problems, cholesterol, diseases that he brought, and he brought quotes from doctors of today of that the cause of this is overly stressing yourself and being overly nervous. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ told us this 14 centuries ago. So the Prophet ﷺ is trying to tell us, fight yourself. When you go, some people can't control it. They're born like that. It's probably in the gene. But you have to control yourself when something excites you or something upsets you. And don't revenge for yourself. Try to control yourself. The first thing we want to know is why people get nervous fast. From an Islamic point of view, you guys are doctors who are going to cure the hearts and cure these evil traits. You have to know why this happened. Why do people get overly excited a lot? One of the first reasons is there's no communication and contact with Allah. When there's no communication and contact with Allah, you're always going to be on your own, thinking who's going to help me, a lot of stress on your back, not knowing the reward for someone who stays in contact with Allah. Contact with Allah, like praying, dua, communicating with Allah. That's one of the first reasons of overly exciting yourself. The second is trying to revenge for yourself. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. People whose only concern is their self, people whose only concern is their own selves, are people who overly get excited and very mad fast. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Small minds and lack of thinking. People with small mind and lack of thinking is also another cause for people who get upset fast. One who is not good at what he does. How is that? You got a teacher. In that teacher, you ask him a question. Instead of answering the question, he's going to get excited and mad. Why? Because he doesn't know the answer to it. You see this sometimes, and you rarely see it in sheikhs. You know, you go to the sheikh after the dars, you say, brother, you said this and this and this. Where did you get this from? And the sheikh, get out of my face. You coming and questioning me. Who are you to question me? This is someone who's, needs to improve himself on knowledge. Usually they only say that when they don't have the proof. Someone who has the proof, they'd be happy. Actually, I've seen very famous scholars get mad for the opposite reason. You go ask him a question, and you don't ask him for the proof. You say, I've seen in Hajj many times. They ask very famous scholars, hey, what should I do now in Hajj? And he leaves. He gets the answer and he leaves. The sheikh gets mad. Why did you ask for proof? You just take what I said for granted. You're not supposed to. That's why we raise people not to be blind followers. Another reason for people who get upset, and these are overall reason, quick reason, is the calling of the jahiliyyah. Like, I'm Palestinian, I think I'm better than Pakistani, or Pakistani think they're better than Palestinian, or I think I'm from a Palestinian tribe and this tribe is better than another tribe. This always causes stress, and people getting overly excited. There's other reasons, but these are some overall reasons that scholars mention in their book. Our concern is we need to cure this disease. Our problem is we need to cure how someone gets excited and mad fast. Who knows a cure for it? Skandar, when you get mad at your gang, what do? Does he fight with you guys?
Sometimes.
Okay, today we're going to cure it, and it's not going to happen again ever. Who knows a cure? Yes. Okay. The first thing, let's take them in order according to how the scholars put them. First thing is wudu. Why? Why does wudu cure nervousness? Can someone tell me? It's in a hadith.
Because it's from the
Exactly. Go ahead.
I was going to say when you make wudu, you clean and purify yourself.
One of the reasons. But the main reason is that, what's the shaitan made out of?
Fire.
How do you put out fire? Water. You pour water on it. The anger in you is from the shaitan. You put it out by making wudu. As soon as you get mad, go make wudu and see what's going to happen. It's going to calm you down, because the hadith, I'll say in Arabic, the hadith precisely says that, for those who want to write it in Arabic. Al-ghadab min al-shaytan, wa-shaytan khuliqa min al-nar, wal-ma yutfi'u al-nar, fa-idha ghadib ahadukum fal-yatawadda. Al-ghadab min al-shaytan, meaning, the first clause of it, when you get angry, it's from the devil. Shaytan, second clause, shaytan is created from fire. You put fire out by water, and if any of you get mad, let him make wudu. Number two, a hadith narrated in Ahmad and Abu Dawood, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْكُتْ. Be quiet. If you get mad, be quiet. Don't talk. Because you say things, you're going to regret later. Another cure for it is to be quiet when you get mad. We're going to get to that, inshallah. Change the position you're in. Not sit down. One of them is to sit down. Number three is to change the position you're in. After we're done with this, I don't want to ever hear of any of you who lost their temper, ever. So we're never going to have that again. Right, Abu Jibreel?
Yes.
Okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَجْلِسْ فَإِنْ ذَهَبَ مِنْهُ مَا يَجِدْ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if any of you get angry, sit down. If that doesn't work, lay down. You know, when I was in Medina, some guy, they refused to give him his degree for some purpose. He did something in his past, they refused to give him the degree. So he went from one to another. Imagine that, you work 4 years, then the last day they say you can't get your degree. That's some of the ways they deal over there. He had something on his record. So he walked in on the president of the university, which probably mastered this hadith pretty well. And he's walking in a rage. 4 years and I'm not getting my degree. The president left his desk. He said, brother, calm down. Sit down. Lay down in my couch. A beautiful, it's almost a mansion where he's at. He said, lay down in my couch. If that doesn't work, get up and make wudu. The man told me, he's telling me, he said, wallahi, it's so, 4 years, imagine that, 4 years, you're not getting a degree. He said, wallahi, I sat down, then I laid down, and all my temper, all my anger went away. This is how someone who's knowledgeable deals with a circumstance like that. Number, what are we? What number? Four? Praising of Allah. Allah said in the Quran, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ. What does وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ mean? Yuman, what does وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتْ mean? When you forget. That's the literal meaning of it. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ إِذَا نَسِيتَ. Ikrimah said, nasit in this verse means when you're angry. Ikrimah. But the literal meaning, and a lot of scholars said, nasit is forgetting. But Ikrimah adopted the opinion that nasit in this verse meaning if you forget. I'm sorry, if you get angry. if I'm going too fast or you don't understand one of these causes, stop me. So what do you do when you get angry in the verse? اذكر ربك سبحان الله الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله praise Allah. واذكر ربك means praise Allah. The next one is remember the reward when it hits you real hard. You're about to lose your temper, your heart sinking, your blood pressure's boiling. Remember what Allah saved for one who suppresses his anger. Allah says in the Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. A verse in the Quran that has three clauses to it. كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ, suppress their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, forgive. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and those who are generous. Allah is commanding three characteristics of a Muslim. You know, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq had a servant one time. And the servant broke a very expensive vase that he had. And Ja'far al-Sadiq is there. So he knew what was coming, the servant. You know, if my servant comes and breaks an expensive vase, I'm going to do something about it. And Ja'far al-Sadiq was about to do something about it. However, the servant was a smart, wise one. He said, Imam, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, suppress your anger. Stop right there. He said, okay, I suppress my anger. Number one. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, I forgive you. Not only am I going to suppress my anger, I forgive what you did. You're not going to have to compensate. You're not. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah likes those who are generous. He said, you're free to go. You're a free slave. If he was a slave, you're free to go now because of this verse. So look, at the heat of his temper, one verse from Allah reminded him of how great it is to forgive and suppress your anger. Look with the same thing with Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Someone walked in on Umar ibn Khattab. He said, Umar, you're not a just man. You did this. And Umar got up to hit him. Around Umar, he always kept people who memorized the Quran. That's one unique thing about Umar. Always around him were people who memorized the Quran. As soon as he got up, one of his eight supporters said, Umar, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, said, I suppress my anger, I forgive him, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, give him some money to go back where he came from, give him wealth and money to make sure that he goes back where he came from safely. There's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظًا وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَدَائِهِ نَادَاهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِ الْأَشْهَادِ لِيُخَيِّرَهُ بَيْنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ. The hadith basically says, whomever suppresses his anger when he can retaliate, Allah will call him on the judgment day from amongst all people and say, come and choose from the حُورِ الْعِينِ, the beautiful women of heaven, as you wish. And of course, the sisters will get something similar in compensation to that. The next, the last one, remembering the reward for someone who suppresses his anger. First of all, that Allah praised them in the Quran. I mentioned the verse. Second of all, that Allah will call whoever suppresses his anger and he's willing to can do something. Like I get mad at a wife or a son or an employee, and I'm able to punch him or do. Or my student, you know, Muhammad always makes me lose my temper, which I never do, but Muhammad, like today earlier in the halaqah, it Wednesday, why don't you tell what you did? Why don't you just give us an example of the stupid questions you were asking? they were good questions? Okay. So, when you remember that when you're about to take revenge, if you suppress your anger, Allah will call you on the judgment day and say, pick from the beautiful women of the heaven as you wish. The next one, number six, is أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم makes the devil go away from you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen two people who were arguing in the masjid. And their faces were turning red, the hadith says. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I know something that if this person says, it will calm him down. And that was, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Everyone got it? The next one and last one is to feel you're better than these ignorant people around you. You know, someone came to a Sha'bi, a big scholar, famous scholar in tafsir and hadith and tafsir. He went to a Sha'bi and he cursed them. Sha'bi said, if what's in me is right, may Allah cure me from that which is in me. If it's not, may Allah guide you. That's how you have to deal with the ignorant people. Because dealing with people, you gotta hear a lot of things, and the best way to do it is to feel you're better than them in that you're suppressing your anger, otherwise you're gonna have a hard time. Al-Hasan al-Basri, when he was told of people who talk about him, he went up to the market and he bought them fruits. If they said, Al-Hasan, they talk about you buying fruits? He said, they're giving me deeds on the judgment day, and I'm giving them some of what they return in compensation for what they're giving me. But what I'm giving them is nothing compared to what they're giving me. They're giving you deeds, they're giving them a little $10 fruits or whatever it may be, which is worthless on the judgment day. Okay. These are the reasons. These are how you can cure your temper. So you know these reasons and keep them in mind anytime you get mad or you see someone who gets mad or loses their temper. There's one kind of situation where you can get mad, and it's good to get mad. What kind? If some matter of Islam is being degraded, then show us your man, how manly you are. Or the sister, show us how you can defend Islam. You get mad for something like that. The description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was he never got mad. He was called every name in the book you can think of. A poet, a liar, black magic. He goes to people to teach him. You can't imagine. There's not a single word that the Prophet ﷺ, his wife, his honor was talked about. However, when it became something about Islam, then he would get mad. If it's something personal, he wouldn't get mad. Okay, what you going to say, Abu Jibril?
What if you're in debate with somebody about something?
Well, you should try your best to suppress your anger in debate. Actually, if you lose your anger in a debate, you lost the debate. It's always like that, the debate. But if you go, and usually if it's the debate, there's communication, you should control yourself. It's not like someone who curses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You lose your temper and you should stop him at his limits. Whatever that may be, you should stop him at his limits. Don't say, oh, he cursed the Prophet. You know, I suppress my anger. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. It doesn't work. That's not the way it works in Islam. If he curses your wife, you're going to jump in a rage. But if he curses the Prophet, you say, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Flip him around. Change the situation around. If you curse Allah, you know, the Jews, like they did, they had a bulletin board where they degraded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, it's okay, you know, it's normal, it's let it go by. But when anyone's wife or daughter is degraded, wallahi, this happened, you know. A brother came to me, well, I gotta go kill someone. Wallahi, he said, why, brother, why are you gonna kill him? He said, you know, he talked about my wife. We were arguing in front of the masjid in Dixon, he cursed my wife. And I gotta kill him. He said, brother, calm down, what kazimina Allah. This scene went on. Nothing happened, alhamdulillah. Scene went on. Aisha was cursed in a setting. He said, brother, where are you? Nowhere. He's nowhere to be found. Doesn't care. Aisha, Khadija, Fatima, if they're degraded, let us see how manly or how womanly you are, jealous over Islam in Islamic matters. So that's the only reason, that's the only time that one can become angry, or it's good to become angry. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah has a whole section in Bukhari with five hadith under that category, all supporting this one thing that you can, the category is a section of when it's permissible or good to become angry. Go ahead.
In continuation of his question, usually if you're, not usually, sometimes when you're discussing with of other religions, that is, I think, one of their tactics, that they
to get you mad?
Yeah, they say, well, Prophet Astaghfirullah was a murderer or something like that, and if you get you mad this way, you lose that argument.
That's
now,
true.
What should you do in that situation?
I think if it's communication, you have to look at the setting. First of all, there's certain people you can debate, and it's good to debate, and certain people, it's not good to debate. Someone who you know or assume is doing it out of hatred to Islam, I think it's better not to debate them. You degrade yourself debating them. But someone who really wants to learn about Islam, I think it's good to talk to them and communicate with them. And if they say something, they're going to say something bad about Islam. What more do you want than they say Allah has children? That's the biggest thing anyone could say. And you got to control yourself and explain to them in wisdom about Islam and in the concept of Islam. But if it's big issues like some of the priests or the rabbis that use debates to defame Islam, I don't think Muslims should get into that. What did Musa do when after he met Allah alayhi salam? What happened? What did he do to his brother? He went to, you know how the Jews are, he went to talk to Allah in a 40 day mission. And how many days did he end up staying? 50 days. He went to communicate to Allah for 40 days initially. Allah added 10 days. The Jews, being the mockers of everyone, they said Allah doesn't know how to count. He doesn't know from 40 to 50. So they mocked Allah. When Musa came back to his people, there's another problem as well. They seen a statue that was being worshipped, and they said, we want something similar to this. And that statue was something like a cow or animal, where wind comes from the mouth of it and comes from the back, and it makes some kind of noise, and they believe this is their Lord. And Harun alayhi salam was in charge of them. However, Harun did not believe in that. What was Harun's excuse? Exactly. Like the modernists say today. He said, I don't want to make division. And that's when Musa went and raised. Division is good. Division is good unless it's on minor issues of Islam. If it's on issues our imams disputed, like the issues we talk about, it's no problem. But issues of other religions like Christianity, Judaism, and we need division. We have to be independent. A Muslim can't be like a Jew. A Jew can be like a Christian. They all are separate. Everyone has a separate identity. We have to preserve our independent identity and call for division in that matter. You can't call for unity. This is what Harun's excuse was. إِنِّي خَشِيْتْ He told them in the Quran. إِنِّي خَشِيْتْ أَنْ تَقُولْ He said, I was afraid that you come and tell me, you divided my people. What did Harun do? إِنِّي خَشِيْتُ أَنْ تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي He said, I thought you're going to come back and tell me, why did you allow division? So I said, let them worship this and unite it rather than have division. Musa, with the boards, what are they called in English? The tablets? The tablets with his hand, he dropped them on the floor. And he began grabbing the hair and the beard of his brother Harun. Allah says in the Quran, لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي وَلَا بِرَأْسِي This is what my nephews Musa and Harun do all day long. They fight with each other. And one of them tells the other, Musa tells Harun, Harun tells Musa, don't beat me up, don't fight with me. لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي وَلَا بِرَأْسِي إِنِّي خَشِيْتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي The chain of verses go on where Allah says, فَلَمَّا سَكَتَ عَن مُوسَى الْغَضَبُ أَخَذَ الْأَلْوَاحِ When he calmed down, he picked up the tablets, whatever they may be called in English, he picked them up and he calmed down. He calmed down, Allah never reprimanded him. Didn't say, Musa, why did you do this? Because he was mad for an issue about Islam. It's okay, it's permissible to be mad about something like that. Okay, there's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, give me advice. What did the Prophet say? Okay, the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تغضب. He said, more advice. He said, don't get mad. He said, more advice. He said, don't get mad. Okay, there's other hadith where other Sahaba said, give me advice, and he said different things. Sometimes he said, pray on time. Sometimes he said, take care of your parents. Why is the Prophet ﷺ confused or what? Anyone know? Teach us? Depend upon the person. The Prophet looks and scans that person he's talking to. Someone is not good with his parents, you gotta take care of your parents. Someone who's hot tempered, لا تغضب. Someone who's not praying on time, pray on time. That's how the Prophet ﷺ was. That's a reply to the Orientalists. You know, I always tell you about the Orientalists. They like to make confusion out of these matters. They say, how come someone asks him here, what's the best thing I should do? He says, don't get mad. Another one comes and says, pray on time. Another one comes and says, obey your parents. How could all this be together? He's talking to each person individually. And in it is a lesson for the rest of the ummah. In it is a lesson for the rest of the ummah. If you fall under this man's category, you're hot-tempered, your main mission is to control your temper. If you're the kind who doesn't obey your parents, you gotta obey your parents. Okay. Any questions? Okay, let's go to the next hadith. اقرأ.
عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. اتفق عليه.
Okay, read in English.
The last messenger from Allah said, oppression is coming to darkness and the day of the judge.
Okay, who knows what oppression means? Can someone tell me what they think of when they think of oppression? What? Mad? Okay. Huh? Hiding the truth? Killing people? Great example. Anyone else? What is it?
Shirk.
Superb, Yusuf.
Take advantage of people if you have a higher power or more knowledge than them.
All that and more is oppression. Oppression, usually people think of oppression is going to someone and transgressing your boundaries against that person. Like killing, like the young brother said, killing. And actually that's probably the biggest form of oppression. However, one form is transgressing your boundaries against others. That's one form of oppression. Another form of oppression is committing sins. Your sins are oppression. And the third form, and probably the biggest form of oppression to Allah, is shirk in Allah. Committing shirk, committing polytheism, is among the biggest shirk in Allah. I give you some verses on oppression before we talk about it anymore. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is the greatest of all oppression. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. At the end of Surah Ibrahim, there's a chain of verses that talk about the oppressors and their resort. Probably the biggest chain of verses that Allah has in the Quran about oppressors. Allah says in those verses, I'll go over them real quick. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't think Allah is unwary of those oppressors. إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار. Allah will only allow them to last for a day that's coming. You know why? Because when the oppressors oppress him, he doesn't think about when the day is coming. He's high. It's the one who's low, who's being oppressed under the whips, under the gunfire, under the cannons, who's ousted out of this house. When is it going to come? When the victory is going to come? The one on the high never thinks of that. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't think Allah is forgot about them. Allah tells the weak people, don't think Allah forgot about them. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ. Their day is coming. لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. When their eyes will be staring in terror. مُهْطِعِينَ مُقْنِعِ رُؤُسِهِمْ. And this applies, as you know, to the Jews, the scums of this earth, of our time. You know, I was just watching the news just before I came here a few minutes. Wallahi al-Azim, they are animals. And not only are they animals, this country, I can't understand a country like this, are bigger animals than they are. Our people are being massacred. Our people are being killed. Our people are being bombarded. We're being genocide. They're killing us. And this country wants us to give up, to say you're the terrorist. You gotta condemn those people. The people being killed, subhanAllah, it shows you that Islam must be supreme to get its right back. We're being killed. We're being murdered. And wallahi, I seen a woman, she passed out. The road is closed. I don't know how it is like that. I've never been there. But the road is closed. They have to take sideways and she passed out. Her son and her husband are carrying. Wallahi, just now I seen it. And then they bring another person. Pass by another person. We've been walking for I don't know how many hours because they closed. When the ambulance came for our children, they began shooting at the animals. Hearts of metal. These are the true oppressors. And the bigger oppressors behind them is like people like this country over here who support them fully. And you know, that's what Allah tells us. When we have a resort, which is the resort of the Quran to look up to when their destination is. Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَ. And after this, I can't understand a Muslim who has any sympathy for these infidels. How could you have, if you have it, you know what you need to do? You need to record those who call and say the Jews and the Christians and Hindus and Muslims all need to be brothers.
Give us our rights back. Give us our air. Give us, let our people live. Don't give us wealth or anything. Just let our people live. Give them the basic rights. We don't want no rights. Let them live. Let them breathe air. Wallahi al-Azim, it brings a tear to your eye. Wallahi, remember the Prophet saying, when he cried over Ibrahim, when you see what the Jews do. إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَعَ I shed this tear. And a heart weeps. And what is happening in Palestine is something truly destructive. Palestine, just alone. Don't take Kashmir. Don't take other countries. And yet you see people, there's peace, modernists. Where's all these Muslim organizations? What are they doing? If we don't speak the truth, I don't know what they're going to be waiting for. Where's all these Muslim organizations? When Taliban destroyed the statues, they're roaring zord. Where are you when our Muslim, our brothers are being bombarded and killed? They're massacred, genocide. Wallahi, every time I read the news, they killed 10 Palestinians, 20 Palestinians. I'm thinking they're going to become extinct. I'm thinking they're going to become extinct. Wallahi. No, they want the United States to condemn those being murdered. This is the heart of an infidel. This is when Islam is not supreme over the world. This is the result of it. That's why to see justice over this planet, you have to see La ilaha illallah supreme over the world. That's why Allah said in the Quran to us, a condolence to us, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ Don't think Allah is unaware of those oppressors and what they're doing. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ Await! Those Jews are going to be under control. Wallahi, it's a good sign. You know, although this oppression and this hardship that's going on is pretty hard, but that's a good sign. And I wish it becomes a little bit more. Because every time oppression becomes to this point, one of two things happen. Either the Ummah revolts and victory comes and they become guided people, or it's the sunnah of Allah that comes. When oppression reaches its peak, the lesson of this hadith, the end. The end of the world, the end of those who oppress. Like, take Az, Fir'aun, take Fir'aun. The one who said when he was at his peak, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرِ Do I not own Egypt? وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ These oceans flow from under me. Then these oceans flow from under me. When he was at his peak of his power and said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى That water he bragged about was the water that brought an end to it. When Allah takes an end to someone who's oppressive, He hits them by the least means they expect it. When it's people who think wind is nothing, it's wind that ends, puts an end to them. وَأَمَّا عَاد عَاد فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ Like the United States today. وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً Like the Jews. You know, if the word of truth is not said, the least we could say is the word of truth. We're not saying to do no violence, no nothing. But if we're not going to be able to say the word of truth, or if harm is going to come from the word of truth, I say welcome harm. Welcome harm. We're cowards. The least we could do is say and talk in aid of our brothers. You understand? They talk about your brothers in Palestine or in Kashmir or anyone. You know what's next? Iraq. You know what's after that? Iran. What's after that? Libya. What's after that? Sudan. This is a war on Islam. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ عَادٌ We're muscular. وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةٌ Who's more powerful than us? Who's more powerful than us? United States and Jews. They go, come here. Not a single Arabic leader opens his mouth. When you want them to talk, there's no talk. Cowards. No one. Not a single one. You were used to, at least in the past, see letters condemning. What's going on? You don't see that anymore. You, Yasser Arafat's not even on the scene no more. He's gone. He's history. Not a single Muslim leader stands up and says a word. We used to say, they do say a word. Now we can't even get a word out of them. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةٌ Who's more stronger than us? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ They forgot about Allah who created them. Superpower. Says we're strongest. The destiny is right there coming to them. This is the sunnah of Allah. I tell you, it's one of two things that has to happen. When oppression reaches its peak, the ummah goes back to Islam like Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi. You know, Ibn al-Athir narrates when Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi's time, when the crusaders entered Palestine, in 1 week the crusaders entered, these are the Christians, those supposedly peaceful people you think of. In 1 week they killed 70,000 people. Ibn al-Athir says in history book. The days went on, 70 years. Oppression. When oppression reached its peak, the ummah went back to... You know how Salah al-Din went back to Islam? You know how? Him and his father and his relatives hold halaqat like this, teaching people tawheed and fiqh. Who could imagine? On Monday, wallahi, Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi on Monday had a fiqh and tawheed halaqah. Wallahi, wallahi, in history book, on Monday, Salah al-Din al-Ayyubi had a fiqh and tawheed halaqah. He didn't just get up and say, let's go. and they revolted. The iman became the heart. The generation were filled with iman. They revolted against this oppression. Or the second thing happened. The sunnah of Allah, like Ad. وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةٌ. Who's more powerful than us? أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةٌ وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا. How did Allah destroy Ad? The giants of their time, the superpower of their time. How? Tornado, minor, wind, rih, not even tornado. Not even, the tornado's too strong for them. Rih took those giant bodies and it flew, they were flying up in the air. This is the destiny of every oppressor. Oppressor. But this is not only the destiny of the oppressors as a nation, but it's the destiny of the oppressor individually. This is oppression of nations. But also, you see oppression, like someone who backbites, someone who defames. His destiny is coming. I know someone in Dearborn. Wallahi, this happened maybe when I was in my 7-8 years old. Someone used to continuously defame him. And he said, Wallah, I was there when the dua was made. He said, may he never die until he becomes blind. Wallahi al-azim, I was in court maybe about 2 or 3 months ago. And I seen the man, I know. The one who used to backbutt. And he had someone guiding him. Wallahi. I haven't seen him in a long time. I said, how? I said, Salaamu Alaikum. How are you? Do you remember me? I'm so and so. But it was the other person who made, someone else who made the dua. What happened? I said, Wallahi, just like that, I went blind. This is individual. This has happened over. I can go on to say how Ibn Taymiyyah, when he heard of times when people made harm to him, he made dua on him. It may take time. That's why Allah always in oppression says, soon. Inna Allah la yumli lil-zalim. Go, more. And he thinks he's powerful and supreme. لا يملي للظالم. حتى إذا أخذه, when he takes them, it's taking him. It's gonna destroy him. He's gonna be destroyed. Like the Shah of Iran. You guys remember? You know his history, don't you? This guy was Shah and Shah. What does it mean in the Persian? King of all kings, right?
Yeah.
Shah and Shah means the king of all kings. He was an oppressor. I think one of the biggest oppressors of our times. You know how he died? No country would accept his smelly body. His body, the giants who used to oppress and kill by the hundreds of thousands, no one wanted his body. The whole world, no one. Until they convinced Egypt to find him of a grave and put him in Egypt. This is the oppressor. This is the destiny of every oppressor. You know, there's a man named Mustafa Zayat in the 60s. He used to, I don't know if you heard about in the 60s, there was oppression of the Muslim Brotherhood. Al-Ikhwan Muslimin, in Jamal Abdel Nasser's time, he used to oppress them in the worst ways. I think the techniques used in oppression people physically was at its peak in Egypt at that time. So this was the man in charge of it. And they used to say, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And he'd say, you know, if Allah comes down, I'm going to put him in a cell next to you. The days went on. He thought he's a supreme, and Jamal Abdel Nasser gave him palaces and Mercedes and cars and everything. The days went on. The dua of those oppressed fell upon him. It was about 15, 20 years later when he got in a car accident and his metal, it was a tractor full of metal, went in his body and they couldn't, you know, they said, we can't flick it out, like metal flicking it out of his body. Pieces of metal in his body. And they left him die a slow, natural death with pain and agony, like he used to oppress those people in his prison. Every oppressor is like that. You know Al-Barakima? Does anyone know? Do you hear about him? What? Where do they control? Yes, they control. This is a family who control the area of what today is Syria. These were people who were very oppressive. Not only were they oppressive, the fences of their houses were built of gold. Pure gold. Al-Barakima. It's a family called Al-Barakima during the time of Al-Abbasiyin. They used to oppress and oppress. And you know what happened one day? The leader of the Barakima gets in a prison cell. Things changed. You know what happened? He sits with his son talking. Says, why are we in here? The son tells the father, why are we in here after all the honor that we had? Do you know what the answer is? To the father, his wisdom. He has wisdom. He was oppressive, but he has wisdom. He said, son, it was a da'wah of a mazlum. The dua of someone who was oppressed. We slept over it, but Allah doesn't sleep over it. We slept not knowing this man all night is making dua. We slept on it, but Allah doesn't sleep on it. That's why you know, and you should know this hadith about the da'wah of the one who's oppressed. Watch out from it. Whether a kafir or a Muslim, no discrimination in this one. A kafir, you oppress him, he makes dua against you, that dua is going to hurt you. Kafir. Da'wah al-mazloom. تصعد إلى الله كأنها شرارة. The da'wah of the mazloom goes to Allah like a spark. That's a hadith. The da'wah of the one who's oppressed goes to Allah like a spark. And like the brother said, the Prophet ﷺ said, among the things that a da'wah shall never be returned is the da'wah of someone who's oppressed. There was a man named Muhammad al-Zayyad. Did you ever hear of him? He was in the Amawiyya Khilafa, I think. Amawiyya, not the Abbas, yes, in the Amawiyya. So he was a leader who, what does Ziyat mean? Does anyone know what Ziyat means?
Deals with oil.
Deals with oil. His father was a low man. His father was a low man who dealt with oil. Not like today's oil. Carry oil on his camel and take it from one area to another. So they called him a Ziyat. His son and grandson became named after that. A low life. But he was smart. He had wisdom and he was eloquent. So he became a leader in the Abbasin. His job was to torture the people. And when they sit and mourn, he made a little oven. A little oven the size of a human body. And in it is nails, bottom and top. They used to say, Muhammad, you know, easy on us, easy. And he used to, and mock him. He says, easy? Could you tell me what part of a sentence that is? Is it a pronoun, a noun, an adjective? You know, he's trying to mock them. What is it? They're under the worst oppression and torture, and he's trying to tell them, tell me what kind of sentence this is you're talking about. The days went on, when he did something, the Abbasis didn't like. You know what happened? Same spot. Wallahi al-azim. Wallahi al-azim. The Jews are going to be in the same spot they put it in the Palestinians today. Wallahi. If you don't believe that, this is the sunnah of Allah. Things change. Is that like Africa, South Africa. Remember how they used to oppress the black people? And they're not Muslim. You know, there is some Islam there, but they're not Muslim. Things change. The same thing going to happen over there. But one thing, we could speed it by our iman and faith of Allah, or we could await the sunnah of Allah. You know how you can see the sunnah of Allah? You could see it, read a history book that talks about the sunnahs of Allah from the time of Adam to today. Like al-Bidayah wal-Nihayah for al-Zahabi. What did he, I'm sorry, for Ibn Kathir. In Bidayah wal-Nihayah he talks about all the Umamahat, Thamud, Salih, the Abbasi, the Amawi, all these khilafahs. How they started, how they ended. They start with iman. They end with oppression. When oppression hits the feet, they're God. This is the sunnah of Allah throughout all creation. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِرُسُلِهِمْ لَنُخْرِجَنَّكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا. The infidels told their messengers, لَنُخْرِجَنَّكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا. We shall oust you from our land. أَوْ لَتَعُودُنَّ فِي مِلَّتِنَا. Or you should come back to our religion. فَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ. Allah revealed to them, لَنُهْلِكَنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ. When their oppression reached its peak, we're going to destroy those oppressors. لَنُهْلِكَنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Not only are we going to destroy them, وَلَنُسْكِنَنَّكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. You're going to live in that land that they ousted you from. They oppressed you in. حَيْثَ يَفَحَكَ غَزَّ. They're going to go back to the Palestinians and the Muslims. It's going to go back to the Muslims. Because Allah said, وَلَنُسْكِنَنَّكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِي وَخَافَ وَعِيدِ. It's lucky that the Jews, you know, it's lucky that we don't treat, يَرْحَمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. It's lucky we don't treat them. We have the manners of not treating them like they treat us. You know, when they're under our control, they were never ever oppressed. That's one of the things that they should be lucky about. Okay, among the examples of oppression is, first of all, the biggest one, shirk. Where are you going, Muhammad? You sit and laugh for half an hour, then you leave early? Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. First of all, is killing. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. Second of all, shirk in Allah. Third of all, is backbiting. These are among the forms of oppression, backbiting, because the Prophet ﷺ said, one comes on the day of judgment with a mountain of deeds. With a mountain of deeds. And this mountain of deeds vanishes. He becomes bankrupt. Alaykum salam. This mountain of deeds becomes bankrupt. Why does it become bankrupt? Because you've been talking about people. Everyone you talked about, you oppressed him, you get hasanat. Hasanat, when the hasanat are gone, they give you their sins. And that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the example of someone who's bankrupt. Among the forms of oppression is taking wealth that doesn't belong to you. من اقتطع شبرا من الأرض طوقه الله يوم القيامة من سبع أراضين. What does that mean, Yusuf? What does that mean? Khalid. Shibran is this much. This is a shibr. Okay, if you take it, will hang around his neck, the sky, I'm sorry, the seven earth. We believe in Islam there's seven earth. For taking a shibr this big, the first stage of his punishment is that Allah will hang around him seven earth that he will have to carry on his back on the land of the judgment day. Not only is it wealth of human beings that we can oppress, but it's even nature. We can't oppress nature. Look how beautiful Islam is. Look how scummy the Jews and Christians are. Look how they treat us. And look how beautiful Islam is. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the Hindus as well, the ones who burn our brothers and sisters alive, even scummier, at least these, the Jews and Christians, have their authenticity of their book is from the Quran and the Sunnah, is from skyly religion. The Hindus don't have nothing to style, right, Riyadh? You know them from your old country. What's the origin of their religion? Huh? Bunch of foolish stuff. Okay. The trees, for example, the trees. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "قَاطِعُ السِّدْرِ يُصَوِّبُ اللَّهُ رَأْسَهُ فِي النَّارِ." It's a hadith in Bayhaqi. Meaning, one who cuts a tree oppressively, wrongfully, he cuts nature wrongfully, Allah is going to put and throw his head in hellfire. A bird. If you kill a bird in vain, that bird in a hadith, what, you remember the hadith? What does he do? The bird, if you kill it in vain, for no reason, killing it to eat it, that's great. That's what it was created for. Killing it in vain. You just see a bird, you take your baby out and kill it. For no reason. You, that bird, gonna come on the judgment day and say, "Oh Allah, ask him why he killed me in vain." See the justice of Islam? More than that, you know, you ever seen, you don't know this probably because we live over in this country, but you know, in our countries, animals with horns fight animals with no horns. And who gets the better of the fight? Who gets the better of the fight? The one with big horns. The one with horns. The one that doesn't have horns, doesn't have nothing. So you know what Allah says? لَتُؤَدَّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُقَادَ لِلشَّاتِ الْجَلْفَاءِ مِنَ الشَّاتِ الْجَدْعَاءِ فَانْطَحُهَا. The one who has horns and hit an animal with no horns, the one with no horns comes back on the judgment day, gets its right back. Why? This animal with horns hit it and left, gets its right back on the judgment day, and that's when they turn, after they get the right back, they turn into dirt. The animal turn into dirt. Because they don't go back into heaven and hell after that. The animals back. One animal puts another, they get their right back on the justice. This is the justice of Islam. And then they turn into dirt. And then a kafir says, "I wish I was that donkey. I wish I was that pig. I wish I was that." Because that's the meaning of Allah's verse. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. I wish I was dirt. Doesn't mean, I wish I was dirt, that dirt that's down there. I wish I was that donkey that died. I wish I was that pig that died. I wish I was that sheep that died. This is the meaning of that verse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ لَعَنَ وَالِدَهُ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَلَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ غَيَّرَ مَنَارَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah curse one who curses his parents. Allah curses one who curses his parents. Allah curses one who sacrifices for other than Allah. And Allah curses one who changes the sign of the earth. You know what's changing the sign of the earth? This is the literal meaning of the hadith. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ غَيَّرَ مَنَارَ الْأَرْضِ. You want to take a shot at it?
It's like the person who changes like a landmark.
Landmark, exactly. You know how when you want to go by, you see this a lot in areas where there's construction. They put flags, this is the land for this house. The next house, they put flags. Some people come and change it a little bit. The Prophet ﷺ said, you do it a little bit, tiny little bit. Allah is going to curse you. Allah and the Prophet ﷺ curse you. Look how detailed Islam is. Because usually symptom, especially maybe now with technology, it's a bit harder. But back in the old days, you change it a little bit and it becomes yours. In fact, one of the tabi'in did this to a sahabi. He changed it to get in a tree from the middle. It's almost in the middle. So he moved the landmark a little bit to get the tree in. That sahabi made a dua upon him. That he get embarrassed or Allah give him something before he dies. And that actually happened on the spot. Until he forgave him, went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and forgave him. Okay, this is oppression. A little bit about oppression. So we as Muslims need to stay away from that. And know that Allah has, I just mentioned a few verses, the situation of the ummah when they're oppressed. Allah has many verses of condolence in the Quran for them, and among them is وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا. Do you know what that means? Do you know who wants to tell me what it means? What does stud'ifu mean? Oppressed. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ. We're going to grant those who are oppressed. Meaning, there's going to be a stage of oppression. You know what? It's not going to stop there. Not only are we going to give them a grant, we're going to make them the imams. Now, imam doesn't mean the imam of the masjid. Imam means the supreme of all leaders. Those who are oppressed, that's why those cowards who stick up for the infidels now when they're massacring, Wallah al-Azim, this is, you know, we can't be silent about these things anymore. With these hypocrites who be silent or actually aid, send letters of aid to these policies that allow them to send the Apaches and F-16s to massacre our brothers. When the situation is going to change, and it's going to change soon, and these people become the low ones, they're going to say, we wish we were you. Like Allah said in the Quran. When those who made the policies against Muslims, they're with them. Because they're supreme. When the Muslims become supreme, we're with you. We're Muslims. We have these organizations. Liars, hypocrites. These guys need to be finished off with. Islam doesn't need such kind of hypocrisy in it. And this is one of the major causes of defeats from us. Because the infidels, they can kill us. They can do a lot of things. But they can't get internally to us except by the hypocrites from amongst us. They send the S-16 in there and they praise them and go put their hands. The hands of people who are bleeding with the blood of our brothers. Now watch what's going to happen to Iraq. You want Saddam? Go kill them. We'll find them. United States. United States can't find Saddam. But watch what's going to happen to your brothers in Iraq. Watch what's going to happen after that in Iran. And why? These are our brothers. The destruction of the Kaaba is easier to Allah than to see one Muslim is honor. Not his life. His honor being degraded. Okay, the next hadith. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً, we're going to make them the imams, meaning the superb leaders. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ الْوَارِثِينَ. الْوَارِثِينَ, not الْوَارِثُونَ. وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ, meaning, what's وَارِثِينَ mean? Inheritors. Meaning, they're going to find something, they're going to be, something's going to be taken from them, and they're going to re-inherit it. Okay, the next hadith, Yusuf.
عن جابر رضي الله عنه تعالى رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ثم لا في يوم القيامة اتقوا الشقة فإنه أهلك من
يستأذنكم. Okay, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the beginning of this hadith forewarned about ظلم. However, we already talked about ظلم. And in the second part of the hadith, he says, اتقوا الشح. Shuh is being cheap. They use a word over here that, what is that? Regardless. What is it? But let's use simple terms. It's being cheap. Being cheap in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, was a reason of the destruction of the people before you. How was it a reason of the destruction to the people before you? Simple. When you become cheap, what's your goal? Like you, Iskandar. Tell us. If you're cheap, what's your goal?
Dunya.
Dunya. There you go. But you're not, inshallah. Iskandar, mashallah, great man. You're going to paint the masjid. Inshallah. He suggested to paint an entire masjid. May Allah reward him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it was a source of destruction, because when you become cheap, your only goal becomes wealth. You kill people for your wealth. Wealth is the only thing you see between your eyes. Okay. Shuh in Arabic means being cheap. What does bukhl in Arabic mean, Umran? Bukhl. What's the difference between bukhl and shuh? Anyone want to take a shot at it? There's two words in the Quran and the Hadith that describe greedy and being cheap. Go ahead. He was close. Abdullah was very close. It's bukhl only applies to money. When you're cheap in money, you say bukhl. When you say shuh, the Prophet described in this hadith, it's not money. It's everything. And I'm going to give you an example. Being cheap in what? Being greedy in what? I'll give you one example. First of all, if you hold a position. You hold a position in some corporation. You hold a government position. A Muslim comes to you and asks you for his help. You can help him. Not, you're not deprived of rights, but he has some kind of issue that needs to be resolved. You help him with your position. That, if you don't help him, it's considered among the shuh in the position. So the first one is shuh in the position. Being greedy in the position, or being cheap in the position you have. Being cheap in your leisure time. You got leisure time, and someone asks you. Being cheap doesn't mean only it ordains, by the way. Meaning, just give it 2.5% of your zakat. I have $1 million. I give my zakat 2.5% every year. And that's all I do. But if someone comes and asks me, and I got this money that's not being used, he comes and asks me, and I refuse to give him, I'm considered cheap. Okay, the second one is being cheap or greedy in your leisure time. Someone tells you, I'm moving. Could you come and help me? And you can't. You don't want to help him. You don't want to help him. You just say, why should I spend my leisure time with him when I could be spending it comfortable at home, watching TV or playing on the internet or whatever it may be.
That's in addition to cheap money.
I didn't even get to the money yet. I mentioned the first one is being cheap in a position you have. You have a position, people come to you, please help us in this matter. You could help them. They come to you because they know you can help them in that matter, but you refuse to help them. You're greedy in that position. The second one is greedy in your leisure time.
Is this to anybody?
Well, we're talking about the manners of Muslims, and everyone should have these great manners.
If a
kafir comes, if you know there's da'wah in it, you should help them. Well, it goes back to you, inshallah. You know, even an animal if you help them, but it's more so the ajr is for a Muslim or someone you're giving da'wah to. Go ahead.
What I'm saying is that if bukhl falls into shuh.
Yes, it does. When you see bukhl, it's monetary. When you see shuh, it's everything I'm mentioning, and I just mentioned two so far. So it's everything there, plus money included as well. There's also being greedy in knowledge. Someone who has knowledge and refuses to answer. Or, it could be two ways. He refuses to answer when he has the knowledge, and this is among the biggest sins that one can commit. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whomever withholds knowledge, Allah will put steels of hell on him on the judgment day. مَنْ كَتَمَ عِلْمًا أَلْجَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِلِجَامٍ مِنْ نَارِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This is someone who doesn't answer. Or you could go to someone who's knowledgeable, you ask him a question, he says yes or no. That's it. And he can continue on. But he's just greedy. He doesn't want to help someone. You know, probably you see it in a lot in your classes. You see someone who has the answers for something, or he can help you in math or chemistry or English or whatever. They just don't want to help you. It's greedy. The same happens in Islamic knowledge. It applies to both, but it's strictly more in Islamic knowledge. Being greedy with your life and your soul. And this is an important one. You know, we cherish our souls and lives too much to the point that we think it's the most valuable thing. But a Muslim knows that there's times where his soul and his life doesn't mean anything. When he sees the honor of his sisters degraded, when he sees the shouts of his brothers all over the world, you know, like they were shouting over Al Jazeera channel today, where's the Muslims? Someone was saying, where's the Muslims? Where's the Arabic people? Where's the people at? Where are they at? No one's responding to us. A true Muslim, his mind changes in that setting and believes that his soul is worthless for Allah's sake. We don't fight for land. We don't fight for even for honor. The reason we fight for land and honor is not for it for itself, because we fight for Allah, the one who told us, protect your land and your honor. We have to have the right niyyah. When it comes a stance like that, then our life becomes nothing. We should be like the Sahaba, brother. Wallahi, whose life is more valuable? Us or Anas ibn Nadr radiallahu anhu, a hero next to the Sahaba. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, قوموا إلى جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض. Get up to a garden of heaven bigger than the sky and the earth. He said, did you say garden of heaven bigger than the sky and the earth? The Prophet said, yes, bigger than. He said, Bukh and Bukh. You know, he said, Tch. He was eating dates. He said, Tch. I don't want this no more. Bukh and Bukh. The Prophet said, why are you doing that? He said, there's only between me and heaven. Eating this, it's going to be a long time before I finish. All he had was 3 dates in his hand. It's going to be a long time before I enter heaven. And he fought and entered. See, this is a man who is generous with his life. يَجُودُ بِالنَّفْسِ إِنْ ظَنَّ الْبَخِيلُ بِهَا وَالْجُودُ بِالنَّفْسِ أَغْلَى غَايَةَ الْجُودِ. This is a poem. يَجُودُ بِالنَّفْسِ, the people who are righteous, generously give their soul, when the cheap, this poet called the people are cheap of what? Giving their soul. Not their money, not their time, of giving their soul. And the generosity of the soul is the highest kind of generosity ever. Yani these were people who, they were only a small number. Had they all died, Islam would have become extinct. Yet they used to run to the point that Khalid ibn al-Walid scared the Romans with one word, he told them. He said, I got men behind me who love death just like you guys love life. Nothing. Life is nothing for them. This is how you achieve your victory. However, when you get a little wound, you start crying. Yusuf has 2-3 cuts from his ice cream truck, and that's all he was talking about in the class before. The last one I want to talk about is the wealth, being cheap or greedy in your wealth. Being cheap or greedy in your wealth. Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Jazakum Allah khair for coming. We'll see you next week, huh? Okay. Being greedy or cheap in all its forms is very bad. All the forms of being greedy and cheap is bad. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whomever guards himself against greed and cheap, he's among the successful people. You know, Abu al-Hayyaj radiallahu anhu was walking around the Kaaba, and he seen a man saying, oh Allah, Allahumma qini shuhha nafsi. What does Allahumma qini shuhha nafsi mean? Oh Allah, protect me from being greedy or cheap. And he walked around the Kaaba, and Abu al-Hayyaj walking behind him. And it's all this man. You know, you go around the Kaaba, I would say, oh Allah, grant me a wife and children and cars and wealth. This guy, all he says, Allahumma qini shuhha nafsi. That's all he was saying. And Abu al-Hayyaj grabbed him by the shoulder and said, that's what you say around here? He said, if I, this being, solving the problem of greed is the key to all other sins. If I have no greed in me, I'm not going to fall in any other sins after that. It turned out, the man he was talking to is Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Huraira. So Abu Huraira thought that asking Allah refuge in staying away from greed and cheap is one of the most important things that he walks around the Kaaba continuously, and that's all he says. Greed is among the traits of a hypocrite. What we're showing you right now, I mentioned 2 points, and these should be under subcategory. The first thing I told you, I showed you examples of what greed is. Wealth, time, your life, your wealth, how you can be greedy. Now we were talking about how evil greed is, and how Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu used to seek refuge from Allah from being a person who's greedy. The next point is it's the sign of a hypocrite. One who's greedy is a sign of the hypocrite. Allah said in the Quran, قَدْ يَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ الْمُعَوِّقِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالْقَائِلِينَ لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ هَلُمَّ إِلَيْنَا وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الْبَأْسَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا أَشِحَّةً عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah talking in Surah Al-Ahzab about characteristics of a hypocrite. Then he says, أَشِحَّةً عَلَيْكُمْ. Shuh meaning cheap. And then some of the scholars say, how were they cheap? Because they're hypocrites. They were cheap in everything. Like Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he was the leader of the hypocrites. In the battle of Badr, when there was an invasion upon the Muslims, the Prophet said, what do you think we do? They said, let us fight in our houses. We can fight in our alleys. Let Abu Sufyan and his tribe and Quraysh come, we can fight them in our houses. Because we know our alleys. They don't know our alleys. As soon as they walk in our alleys, we got it. The hypocrite suggested that because they wanted to escape fighting. If it's in between the houses, they're going to run in the house and hide. They're not going to fight. If it's in a battlefield, you can see who fought and who didn't. If it's in the house, you close the door and that's it. But this is it. So, they were cheap in giving their blood for the sake of Allah. And this is one of the characteristics that Allah talked about them in the Quran. They were cheap in giving goodness. Anything good. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul played a role in everything in Islam that happened. Almost everything that happened during his life, whether it may be a battle, whether it may be a rumor, whatever it may be, he gave his input of evil on it. And he hit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and harmed him in many ways. Because this is a man supposedly a Muslim. Supposedly a Muslim. When a Muslim who's supposedly a Muslim hits you, it's not like a kafir hitting you. You can observe that one. You can say he's my enemy. This is supposedly a Muslim. So the first thing they did, all goodness, they deprived the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of that. They deprived the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fighting with him. In fact, in the battle of Badr, you know what he said? He went with the Prophet. He said, okay, you guys want to fight in the battlefield? Let's go. And he took the hypocrites with him. And look how evil he is. When they got 2/3 of the way, he said, you know what? Didn't I tell you guys we should fight back in Medina? I'm going back. You didn't listen to me. Why should I listen to you? And look how evil he is. If he didn't want to fight, why did he go? You know? Why did he go if he didn't want to fight? But he went that point 2/3 of the way. People with weak iman, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he's Muslim. He's going back. He has a good point. Let's go back with him. Just like you see today the Muslims. Oh, this is a Muslim organization. They don't talk about this. They don't do that. Let's go and follow in their flow. And actually what he did, what happened? How many people went back? 1/3 of the army. 1/3 of the army went back with him. There was a few hypocrites with him. He ended up taking back 1/3 of the entire army with him. Okay, they deprived the Prophet of all good. They deprived the Prophet of their lives. They deprived the Prophet ﷺ of the wealth they get after battlefield. And they deprived the Prophet ﷺ of their original wealth, is the meaning of أَشِحَّةً عَلَيْكُمْ in this verse. There's a lot I want to talk about this being cheap, but I think we'll take questions right now. General questions or questions concerning this. Any questions? Go ahead.
I guess the line that some people, you know, often cross between being, you know, having a book of Islam and Israq. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't want to commit Israq, but at the same time, they end up being, you know, doing Islam. So, where is the line?
We talked about this way earlier. What's the line? Allah said in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. If you spend, You don't go to israf. وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. And you don't withhold. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. And between that is the just position. This verse puts it clearly to you. إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا. They don't spend too much excessively. They don't withhold, you know, of their wealth. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. For example, if it's matters, personal matters, this goes to what's called the عرف. What's general? What do people think? Righteous people think is too much excessive, and what's not? This goes back to the عرف. When it comes to matter for the sake of Allah, there's no withholding there. Give all your wealth. It's no problem. Give all your wealth. If someone truly depends on Allah and says, I want to give all my wealth for the Mujahideen in Palestine, great. And do that. And don't hold back. You have a predecessor, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, best companion, Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr and Umar used to compete always. To the point, Umar in a battlefield, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was collecting donation. Umar said, I'm going to beat Abu Bakr this time. And he brought half his wealth. He thought he had Abu Bakr. He said, what did you leave to your, your family? He said, I left them half. And he thought he had, he sat there proud. Then Abu Bakr comes and brings all his wealth. He said, what did you leave for your family? He said, I left for them Allah and His Messenger. So when it's matter for the sake of Allah, for da'wah, there's no need to withhold, and there's no way anyone can say any matter about Islam, or someone spent, you know, for his brothers who are in, deprived of food and wealth, Muslim brothers who are deprived of that, he gave them a million. You can't say that's israf. But you could say about a car or a house, certain house or certain car, this is israf. And as I said, it goes back to the half of their time. You know, back maybe 15, 20 years, buying a house in Canton for 250,000 is israf. It's something big. Now it's almost normal. It becomes a harf that it's natural. Anyone with a nice job, engineer or something, can easily afford a house like that. Now if you go to a house that's 7-8 million and he doesn't need it, it's him and his wife in a house that's 7-8 million. Is that israf or not? You gather the scholarly people who know the wisdom of this life, and also the wisdom of this life, and also the knowledge of Islam, and that's how you judge it. There's no way that the Prophet ﷺ said, like, this is going to be israf in this life. The scholars say it goes back to Arab. Yes, that's included. But what if he has 1,000 million, goes buy something more than that? Then you have to take that into consideration. But someone wants a nice house, nice car, casual nice, and you know, something that may be disputed. Is this house a house that's 250,000, 300,000? I can't say, you can't say that's israf. Why are you buying a house like that? Any questions? Go ahead.
When that man was walking around the Kaaba, is that true? Like if you have no dreams, is that true that you won't be able to sins?
Well, not overall like that, but it's the key to many of the other sins. Because if you don't have greed, you're not going to steal, you're not going to rob. This dunya is not going to become your sole thing that you think about in this life. You're going to be thinking more about the life after. For example, someone who donates his money for the sake of Allah, his mind is not in this life. His mind is in the life after. Someone who's on the battlefield for the sake of Allah, given his life, his mind is not in this life. His mind is in the life after. Successful. The verse that we mentioned earlier, whomever safeguards himself from being cheap, he's among the successful. Allah said he's going to be successful. Any questions? Okay, I think we call it it. Jazakum Allah khair for coming. You all know my wedding, inshallah, is Sunday. All of you are invited, inshallah. I would like to see all of you. And I don't know if the sisters don't have the address. Mawish, could you please give it to them if they don't? Thank you very much. I missed out a lot of people in invitations. I don't know who I invited and who I didn't. But, you know, at least the people who come here are invited for sure. Jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu fiik.